Today's sermon title comes right from the words of Jesus as he spoke these immediately after the Last Supper. Jesus says to the Apostle Peter, "Peter, Satan has desired to sift you." In other words, Satan wants to separate you from me. "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen your brothers and sisters." And you can imagine the impact that would have made on Peter's soul. Very dramatic time. He's saying the devil is going to attack you, and he's probably going to knock you for a loop. But I've prayed for you. And when you come back to me, it's going to be really important. This is what I want you to do. Strengthen your brothers and sisters. So he's given Peter a major responsibility there. Going to remind him that at the point of his weakest, he feels like he has no faith. He feels like he can't be used by God. Jesus says, "Hey, I can use you to strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ." So same applies to you and me. You have those days or weeks or months or years where you feel like evil is coming at you in a very strong way. The devil himself is on your back and trying to separate you from Christ. What does Jesus say to you at your lowest point? Perhaps even after you fall down, he says, "I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you come back to me, strengthen your brothers and sisters." So he gives us a responsibility to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is repeated by Jesus to Peter after Jesus rises from the dead. He says, Peter, this is the way you can love me. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. And if you look at your family unit or people around you, you might think, how many people have you had to consult from the medical community to strengthen your body? Okay, if you just took one family, you know, I'm just thinking of just in my own immediate circle of knowledge and friendships. Many doctors I've had to lean on. I need their strength to get me stronger. I need an eye doctor. I've needed an ear doctor. I've needed a back doctor. I've needed a neck doctor. What else? I needed a heart doctor. Is there any part of me that didn't need it? I needed a finger doctor. Okay. It's like, whew. I'm sure if we took just the people in this room, we would cover all 240 bones or 220 or whatever they are. And every major organ group needed a doctor to deal with that part and hopefully bring strength. You know, God gives them the ability or the giftedness to be able to do that. He's the great physician. But you and I as believers, we're really like a doctor on behalf of other parts of the body of Christ. They lean on us. We are sent to strengthen them and to make that which is not so strong, stronger, and bring health and vitality and all those things. So please, you know, hear that calling in your life. You're a spiritual doctor on behalf of other believers. Don't be a quack, okay? Don't just get in there and start mucking it up. Don't be practicing falsely. Don't be an uncaring physician. You ever go to an uncaring physician, you know? Boy, it's a tough calling, but now they keep a lot of records. And I went to one recently, and it was a, what was he? He was a sleep guy, okay, whatever. And so he looked at the screen on his computer more than he looked at me. I wonder if he could recognize me if I walked down the street. He'd look at the screen and getting all those questions of, you know, what color hair do you have and all this. But you want a doctor to be available. You as a Christian, you're available to other believers. Strengthen your brothers and sisters. That's a high calling. The Apostle Paul picks up on this in Romans 12. The responsibility we have to others. Paul preaches about a 23-point sermon here in the chapter, and he gives some actions to take on behalf of God and on behalf of one another. Most of them are on behalf of one another, which is really telling. But this is what he says in short phrases that make a few comments here and there. Really love. Let love be sincere. We need God's help to do that. Hate evil. hate evil. We don't do that enough. I know I don't. A Christian brother cornered me the other day and couldn't get away for about 20 minutes. He was telling me about he was going through one of the local grocery stores, and he said they were selling an item. It happened to be beer, and I think it was Baby Jesus beer or something like that. I don't know if you've seen it. And he said, yeah, I just saw that, and I thought, man, you know, I know taking the Lord's name in vain is against God, but that we have to make a whole industry that would support such a thing, you know, and make it one of the main things. He said, I went to the manager. I said, I don't think I can come here because you got this, you took my greatest loved one, you put it on an item, and you're not honoring him at all, the King of Kings. Do you hate evil? Hate that which is evil, okay? And you take some action and be a witness for Christ. Hold to the good. Be devoted to one another. Here's the strength in each other. Honor one another. Stay enthusiastic. I need others to get me enthusiastic a lot of times. Sometimes you just want to take a nap. Be joyful. Be patient. God can help us with this. Practice hospitality. I think God's word says practice because how many of us are good at hospitality? You know, how many folks have I had over recently? Let's see. It was Easter. Yeah. That type of thing. Keep praying. Bless your enemies. A high calling. Cry with the crying. Be joyful with the joyful. Have a heart for others. Befriend the lowly. No revenge. Do what's right and defeat evil with good. All great directives. When I looked at those directives and particularly trying to strengthen others, I thought, I enjoyed doing about two or three of those. I feel like God is helping me do two or three of those. And the other 20, I really stink at. And I don't know what to do with that. Part of who I am in my old sin nature doesn't even want to do that. I don't want to bless my enemies. I don't want to practice hospitality, and I sure don't enjoy being patient. But God says, this is what you could do. Do those, and if we try to do them on our own, we become a Pharisee against ourselves. 3 for 20. You know, not much evidence of Christ in the heart at that point. But if we say, oh, in view of God's mercy, as Romans 12 starts out, in view of God's mercy, I can put my life before God and say, would you have my mind be changed and not conform me to the image of the world? And by the gift of God and doing these actions on behalf of strengthening brothers, as a gift from God, the presence of Christ living in you and me, then we'll be strengthening many brothers. You know, we'll be effective in building up other believers. Pretty strong responsibility that God gives us throughout his word. And Jesus promises to us, and his promises are 100% reliable, he'll pray for us that our faith doesn't fail. And when we return to him, we can strengthen our brothers and sisters. Remember the old song that used to be sung pretty much twice a month in worship services? Thank you for giving to the Lord. Remember that one? That song had a good spiritual lesson to it. Most of us don't know the impact we're making on behalf of others, and we really won't know until we get to heaven. Okay, that's in God's wisdom to do that. So he'll someday, you know, someone will say, well, thank you for strengthening my faith. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I was a life who was changed because of you. It's every once in a while when I'm daydreaming in a good way, I think back on all the strong believers I've gotten to meet. Oh, man. What a wonderful bunch. Just to know some for a month and some for years. But that's you for somebody. It really is. And so Jesus is praying for us. Christ in us. Christ in you and me can strengthen one another. The Bible summarizes this responsibility in many places. I'll give you four good examples. Peter. Peter obviously heard Jesus. Okay, I'm going to do this. Peter passes on the word, above all, love each other deeply. Now, when God's word says above all, is there anything above the above all? No, above all is the top. That's the top. Love each other deeply. Make sure that is an A practice. That's first base in responsibilities as a believer. Paul picks up the same thing. He says love fulfills the law. Paul loved the law, you know, especially his Old Testament Pharisee background. But he said, hey, when you reach out to bless others, it takes care of the whole law, 612 commandments in there. James, hard-headed, hard-nosed, faith without works is dead. James says the royal law, love your neighbor. James is really saying, let's do this really good. And then Jesus, of course, love each other as I have loved you. We need his help to do that. Great, great reminders to strengthen one another. And so just wanted to share how to do that in a couple of simple ways and ask God for continued motivation and really leaning on him for this. Personally, I need to lean on him to strengthen my brothers and sisters. I told the first service, sometimes I view the Christian life, if you put me on a desert island with my wife and sons and give me, you know, some hot dogs and a coconut, I could live there for 7 years, 70 years, you know, to say, this is what it's all about. God says, no, it's not. This is not what it's all about. He sends us to strengthen others, pass on his good word. And so, what can Jesus do through us to strengthen others? First of all, to know that Jesus in us moves toward people. And this goes for every believer. You can be an introvert, he's still going to move you toward others. You could really appreciate solitude, he will eventually move you toward others. Because that's the way he created us for, that connection. Jesus in you moves toward others. So think of the greatness of the Lord. In creation, he moved toward us. He created us. Incarnation, he moved into our neighborhood. Pentecost, he moved into our body. That's what you call moving toward others. The Holy Spirit comes in your life. Missions, there he goes again. He's moving toward others. Evangelism, whoops. He is moving. He's going to move toward a lot of people in Pittsburgh in about a month. God moves towards people. So you and I are called to move towards people. Following Jesus is a loving people thing. This came very late for me in my following of the Lord. When I first became a Christian, pretty much right off the bat, very excited about the Bible, very excited about prayer, very excited about worship, even very excited about tithing. I thought, this is good, you get to honor God and good things happen. Not real excited about moving toward people. I thought, maybe that's like 12th on the priority list of Jesus. You know, after those other things. And I, much to discover by God's word and his conviction, no, loving people is actually way, way, way up at the top of the list. For example, I want to give you an illustration to bother you, and you struggle with it. But I think it's redemptive. When let's say a Pharisee came and didn't ask Jesus but asked me, what are the two great commandments? Of course, as a believer, I might say, two great commandments, love God and read your Bible. All the commandments rely on these two. Well, I don't know. What else might you say? Two greatest commandments. Love God and go to church, or love God and pray, or love God and tithe. All those answers are wrong. Jesus gave the right answer, the true answer, the Bible answer. He said, these are the greatest. Love God and love people. And the whole law rests on those two. So what a challenge to us. And it sets us loose from ourselves and sinful selfishness and, you know, passing on what the Lord gave to us. Even a semi-introvert like myself. Give me a book and I'll read for days and hardly miss anyone. But that's an aberration. Well, I used to take one of my sons to school on a regular basis, good connection time, so I would encourage each other and just try to plant some seeds. But when he would get out, I would mention that I'd be praying, and also I always said this, okay, go love 100 people today. That's a little how preachers exaggerate, but that was my way of saying, do what's really important. Go out there and love 100 people today. Why did I say that? Because that's who Jesus is in us. That's what he does. Right? He does it one at a time as needed. What's the alternative? You mean to tell me that I was around 100 people and I loved no one? I love no one? Am I a total pagan or what? Do I need to be born again? Am I so backslidden that I was just around people? Never even crossed my mind. One of my responsibilities is to strengthen other people, brothers and sisters, and love them. Of course, God's Spirit is going to drive us to that way and say, hey, this is I feel sent to strengthen brothers and sisters. It's and I know you probably could testimony the same thing. Almost every time I'm with other Christians, I do feel strengthened in my faith. I used the example Wednesday night. Even the times when it was kind of a negative experience, you probably had this. Hopefully not today. But did you ever go to church? You felt bad going to church? Not close to God and out of touch? And when you left, you even felt worse. If you haven't felt that, you're probably lying to yourself. Okay, we've all had that experience. You've had it at your family reunion, for sure. Go to your family reunion, you think, oh, this is something. Here comes, Uncle so-and-so. He's drunk again. And I know he's cheating on his wife, but I have to sit there and listen to him. And you think, I feel worse leaving than when I came. But when that happens, is you're with other believers. Know that God has shown us, he's shown us our limitations. He's shown us our need. Hey, we need strengthened too. So maybe these two backsliders can strengthen one another as they turn to Christ. Okay. But to strengthen one another, God gives us that way to each other so we can not go to heaven alone. D.L. Moody said, no Christian goes to heaven alone. You influence somebody else. You strengthen another Christian brother and sister to stay in the race. Next good thing about Jesus in us, in terms of the strengthening of others, Christian brother and sister, is Jesus in you is tough and tenacious. Tenacious means he sticks with a difficult situation. I'd use an example from our church here. Bill and Carol Sarber's son, Ken, and another fellow had a little ministry going on at the Three Rivers Regatta, where all the boats come and the activities and so on. They set up a prayer booth right in the middle of the regatta. I don't think it was right in the middle, but it was there. And the purpose of, just said prayer booth, had some Christian literature, people come over. What is this prayer booth? What is this, a boat or what is it? Now, would you like us to pray for you about anything? And they were there the whole day, maybe more than one day. And it took, of course, some tough love, took some stick-with-itness to be there in the weather. And as people look at them like they're strange, atheists wonder, stupid people, get out of here. Isn't that against the law? Fellow Christians might criticize them. Oh, you big dummy, you're making us look bad. Whatever the case may be, okay, they wanted to strengthen brothers and sisters in Christ or any person who needed the Lord. And the Lord in us is like that. We could be that way as God calls us to different ministries and shows us how to extend ourselves. And you, If Jesus is in you, you are more tough and more tenacious than you realize. And I remember as a little pagan, the Christians I knew, most of them weren't like type A personalities, but I didn't want to mess with them because they had something really, really strong in their soul that I couldn't explain. And then they were all about strengthening others. And so you and I are called to that. And then one more practical thing we could do to know Jesus in us is present, is a present help. Isn't that Psalm 46? He's a present help in time of trouble. We could be a present help when other people need care, need help. Don't underestimate the ministry of you being in a situation. Mr. Jones showed up at Vacation Bible School. Oh, what was he doing? Was he teaching? No. Did he make the cookies? No. Did he lead the singing? No. Oh, he came to just smile at a few kids and thank the kitchen workers and give Renee a rough time. She forgot to do something, you know. He is in there. His presence is strengthening other people. And good for him. We hope he comes back next year. But that presence, you go to a funeral home. You shake somebody's hand. You give a hug. You say a brief word, if any word. And strength occurs. Faith grows. Somebody comes home from the hospital. You get him that split pea soup, you know. Or whatever your specialty is, KFC, low-calorie chicken for the one recovering, and ministry happens, faith is strengthened. You know somebody's going through a terrible time. You send them a card, or you just see them in a foyer there, and you say, "Hey, just want to let you know I'm praying for you." And you let, if they want to talk, talk. If they don't want to talk, don't have to talk. They go home. They say, "I feel strong." Which, somebody's praying for me. I never even knew the guy knew who I was. And so God does that. God uses willing and available people. That means we all qualify. Willing and available people. And an old outreach goal that Tim Keller said that... when somebody meets a Christian, they should come away saying something like this, as God works, you know, in his providence. They come away saying, "Boy, I think that guy really cares about me." Can't explain it, you know. It's just it's something genuine, some genuine, powerful love in there. And maybe God's that way. Maybe God's that way. But you could do that as a believer in Christ. You know, there are believers all around you. Beat up, backslidden, you know, maybe not at the top of their discipleship trend. And you go and you strengthen them by some manner. Simple question, you know, how can I pray for you? You don't have to sound real spiritually goofy about it. You just ask the question. How's your dog? And how's your family? Anything I could pray for your family about? And they could share or not share. And you'd be surprised what people will share. Oh, yeah, something. Or, oh, no, but thank you for asking. And strength occurs, and you hear the words of Jesus to your soul. Hey, Satan wants to separate you from me. But I'm praying for you, and when you come back to me, don't forget about your brothers and sisters. Don't forget to strengthen them. And God will do great things continually through you. He didn't call you to be a spiritual doctor for nothing. You have the credentials from the Lord. And so we rest on him. Let's close in prayer, please. Lord, you're the great physician. You work through us. Little physicians, we're just parts of the body of Christ strengthening one another, and we sure need that. And we're not looking to the world to strengthen us. and we're not looking to spiritual hocus pocus to strengthen us, but we look to Christ and His people and His Word for strength. So please help us lean on each other. And you do more than we think or ask. We're glad. And just closing in the prayer, words of an old song. Lord, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. On behalf of your people, do your great work. In your name we pray. Amen. Wanted to just introduce this last song. It's an oldie here. Chorus, right out of Isaiah 55. This is not a millennium song, by the way. Almost every Bible commentator says it is, but the whole Isaiah 55 is not millennium oriented. But this chapter describes this part, rejoicing because God has brought salvation to us. Okay? And it says, all the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's both in creation, but also trees in the Bible are often a metaphor for people. Okay? So you have the mountains and the hills rejoicing, and a few people also clapping their hands. And my hand clapping leaves a lot to be desired, but I'm going to clap when it's time to clap in this song. And I guess these folks will too.